The following podcast is brought to you by The Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Good evening, and my name is Cezanne, and there may be a few people out there who know me as Bill Ewing. Because I am a senior student here, my name comes up on the roster of people who give Dharma talks. I haven't given a Dharma talk since December, when we started our winter peaceful dwelling known as Ango. We were using a study text called Uji, or Time Being, or Being Time, written by Dogen, a fascicle. And I wasn't sure I wanted to talk about my understanding of time being the way he describes it intellectually. So I just listened to it, particularly the poetic parts of it. And instead of aiming my mind at it, I just let the poetic words of it sink into me and let my meaning of that arise from within. I particularly got a lot out of watching the film, which Roshi Inkyo was gracious enough to put online for us to watch. And I particularly liked the ordinary everyday activities while different men and women read pieces of Uji. I loved studying that during the Ango, and I particularly appreciated Kojin's coordination of that entire event from our week in December, beginning our Ango, and here we are almost 90 days later. Listening to Uji in that way made me reconsider what I was going to give as a Dharma talk. And I decided also, because I am part of the Path of Koan group, which will meet this Sunday, that I have written a poem called Not Knowing for the Time Being, which you'll hear at the end of my talk. What I've decided to talk about is one of our Zen masters, and I have, maybe inappropriately, divided his life into three sections, three different periods of time. I also want to give you a little bit of a disclaimer, since we have been reading a text that is quite old and was pieces of it might have been in Chinese, some of the references, which is might have been from some of the teachers which Dogen talked to, but then it's Japanese, translated into Japanese, and that Japanese is then translated into English. And those are from different periods of time, so what you're hearing me talk about is my interpretation of those translations. So forgive me if I'm not exactly on point. But what I want to talk about is this Zen master's life in three different sections. As a beginning student, starting his practice, and as a respected teacher, who probably became the head teacher at a monastery, and then as an older man. So we'll start at the beginning, before he had a name that I'm not familiar with, he asked his teacher, who was Nanswan, if his question was, what is the way? That was carefully considered by his teacher, and he said, ordinary mind is the way. And Dogen very quickly said, well, should I aim myself at it? And his teacher thought for a while before he answered, if you aim yourself at it, you move away from it. And he thought at that time, if I move away from it, how will I know that what I'm doing is right if I don't aim at it? And again, his teacher thought basically about what this person was asking and where that question comes from. And he said, knowing the way is not about knowing or not knowing. The way is not about knowing or not knowing. The way is very vast. And I'm sure he made a gesture that was like the sky. Knowing and not knowing, well, knowing is delusion, and not knowing is blankness. That's what we know of the conversation that this man, who was starting his practice, had with his teacher. Maybe 20 years later or so, after he had practiced a lot and did a lot of sitting, he became a teacher or received transmission to be a sensei and was now established in a monastery. And that monastery became his name. This was the tradition for teachers to take on the name of a monastery when they moved into the position of being a head teacher. So his name became Jiaoshu. He was well respected. He was standing outside, as I imagine it, standing outside of his monastery looking at it. And he noticed a stranger there, someone he had not seen before, who was sitting and really fixed on looking at the monastery. And he said to him, you don't look familiar. Are you from here? And the young man said, no, I've heard about this place, the Stone Bridge. And I've been wanting to see this and the Stone Bridge. And all I see is this rickety old wooden bridge. And Jiaoshu thought for a moment carefully about this young man's speech. And he said, you don't see the Stone Bridge? And the young man shook his head and pointed to the wooden bridge. And Jiaoshu said again, you don't see the Stone Bridge. And he said, it lets asses cross and it lets horses cross. He noticed a smile, fortunately, on the young man's face because he didn't want to offend him. I think if I had been that young man, I would have said, "The Stone Bridge." I thought when I first heard this koan, I laughed because I thought, this is the Stone Bridge. And it's let a lot of asses across, and it's let a few horses in. I wondered about why Joshu answered that way. But I'm sure he was also thinking about this young man may want to come in and study. So he didn't want to offend him. So he smiled and kind of laughed at his own comment. Maybe 20 years later, as an older man, Joshu would speak to his assembly, and several times he spoke and said, "The ultimate path has no difficulty. Just avoid picking and choosing." And I'm sure he got several questions from his students who said, "How can you do anything if you don't pick and choose?" And he would say, "You should quote the entire phrase." And they would say, "But that's as far as I know." And he would say, "The ultimate path is without difficulty. Just avoid picking and choosing. Once there is picking and choosing, once there is speech, this is picking and choosing, and this is clarity. Well, this old monk does not abide in clarity." Do you preserve anything or not? Well, he got several questions about that as well. How can you say you don't abide in clarity if you preserve anything or not? Teacher, what do you preserve? And this was when Joshu gave perhaps his most generous answer to this student. He said, "I don't know either." Obviously, Joshu was asking himself the same question, not picking and choosing. What am I supposed to preserve? He considered carefully as this student was thinking for a moment and starting to prepare to say something else. And he slowly, I imagine, held up his hand. And then said, "It is enough to question this matter. Bow and depart." And before he could pick up his kutz, the young student, I'm sure, was making a bow so he could exit the room before that kutz came down on his head or before Joshu could pick up a kiyosaku and whack it. But he didn't do either of those things, I'm sure. He was thinking about what prompted that question. In all of this, from the beginning, I thought about, where did that question come from? Did it come from his desire to know more, like what the way is, or what this practice was going to be about, or what it was going to be about for him. He looked at the desire of the young man who said, "I don't see the stone bridge." And he maybe asked him that question first, "You don't see the stone bridge?" But the second time he said it, I'm sure he said, "You don't see the stone bridge." I wonder if the young man knew that he was talking to the stone bridge. He also thought about that student much later questioning, "What do you preserve?" Where would that question come from? It's not knowing what to do. They all arise out of doubt. In our practice, there are three basic tenets, and they are great faith, great strength, and great doubt. I have often wondered, what is doubt good for? And I thought about that as a koan in my life. And when questions come up about who am I, what am I doing, where am I going, they're all about my ability to doubt my own self, what I believe, and what I intend to do. I've often said, intentions don't count for too much because they usually pave the road to hell. I have come to understand that doubt for me proves my faith and also proves my determination. I found it often hard to question things. And now when I do it gently, because I may just come up with the answer, or I may just come up with another question, which proves that I'm in not knowing, that I am answering, that I am looking for the answers to questions that are much deeper. I've written a poem, which I mentioned at the beginning, I would read to you. I would recite for you. And it's called "Not Knowing for the Time Being." I feel the edge of almost everything about to end and begin again. Where does here come from? Where does there begin? If there's no difference, then nothing will begin, and nothing will begin again.